Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mullen Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Let's get out to the Home Run In hotline. Home Run In, always a big hit for the holidays. And there we find a man you read in the Chicago Tribune. You follow online at the National Football Post, nfpost.com. And, of course, he's always a Twitter. He is our guy, Mr. Brad Biggs. Biggsy, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We cannot complain. At least we're not allowed to, so we won't. I got to tell you, I was telling Brian, I got up this morning very early, and I had watched the game before I went to bed, and I didn't sleep well, and I got up early and watched the end of it again. It's the more you watch it, the more kind of unreasonable it is. It just
you think like, there's a correlation for not sleeping well after watching it again?
I don't know how they lost.
Yeah, well, they, you know, a bunch of big situations came up, and they went the wrong direction at every fork in the road, I think is what happened. And Lovie Smith still seemed a little stunned yesterday afternoon when he talked about it, that Hallis Hall and the players still seemed shocked a little bit, I think. And they've got to try to move forward today, though, and get ready for a Seahawks team that has all of a sudden won four out of the last five games. I understand they beat an awful, awful St. Louis Rams team last night out in Seattle, but the Bears have proven here the last couple weeks that they've got to bring their best possible game to compete with anybody in the league. You know, you look at, they lose to the Raiders 25-20. The Raiders get bombed by 30 points on Sunday by the Packers. They lose to the Chiefs, who get bombed by the Jets and fire their head coach, and now they lose to Tebow. So we looked at this when Jay Cutler originally was injured. They're 7-3. Panic originally sets in, and then I think people kind of took a step back and they said, "Well, wait a minute here. There's six games left with a 7-3 record. If they just go 500 down the stretch, they get to 10 victories. 10 victories get you into the playoffs." And you looked at it a little bit deeper, and you said, and the schedule's starting to break, too. Things are getting a little bit easier. Yeah, the game out in Oakland will be tough. The Raiders are playing okay. It's a road game. First start for Caleb Haney and all that. But you looked at the rest of it, and you said, this is going to be okay. But when you lose to the Chiefs and you lose a game against the Broncos that everybody at Hallis Hall thought they were going to win, now you're in a very, very difficult position.
He's Brad Biggs. This segment of the Mullen Hanley Show brought to you by Patrick BMW in Schaumburg. Visit them online, patrickcars.com. And Biggsy, right in the Tribune today, you have a column about Brad Biggs on the Bears. And basically the premise is Lovie Smith faces one of his most difficult or challenging coaching situations from here on out, the final three games. So you have to find at least two wins, if not all three. And this is what passes for praise for Caleb Haney. His numbers weren't terrible. So, I mean, that's what the coach says. And so that's what you got going for you as you head into Sunday's game against Seattle.
Right. I think for them to make the playoffs, it's going to take the best coaching job that Lovie's done in eight seasons. I believe that. And I realize they could get in at 9-7 if some things go their way. Quite a few things really need to go their way for them to be able to sneak in at 9-7, but I just, you haven't seen anything by this team in three games now that leads you to believe they'll beat the Seahawks or they'll beat the Minnesota Vikings on New Year's Day. I haven't seen it. And I'm stepping back from this. I'm saying, okay, well, you know, you're done watching the meltdown. Seriously, can they go out and beat this team? And you're like, well, I don't know. Not the way they're playing. Right now, they're not going to do it. And I asked him about Caleb Haney yesterday. I asked Lovie about it. I said, does he need to be able to involve the wide receivers more? Because in his game that statistically wasn't awful, according to Lovie, he completed five passes to the wide receivers for 59 yards. Throwing the football to Khalil Bell is not going to get it done. And I'm not taking a shot at Khalil Bell as a versatile running back, but as I maintained back at the beginning of the season when Matt Forte was putting up huge receiving numbers, when you're throwing the football to the running back on a regular basis, it's because there's something really wrong with your offense. And I still believe that. You're not going to win throwing the football to Khalil Bell or Marion Barber. And, well, Barber would probably not line up properly if you try to throw to him anyway.
Boy, I got to tell you, I mean, that barber stuff is just a disaster. I mean, that is really, really bad, bad, bad football. And you had Roy Williams, the week before with the big drop. I mean, these guys, I mean, wow. You go to Dallas to find loser players? What the hell are you thinking?
Well, Marion Barber got a $5 million 2-year contract.
I know.
And he's a guy that's been around the block. He's played a lot of football for the Dallas Cowboys. And I heard Troy Aikman talk about it with you guys yesterday where, the coaches need to tell the player to stay in bounds. Come on, really, Troy? Seriously? You need to tell a guy who's been in the National Football League 7 seasons, a guy who's carried the ball his whole life, that he's got to stay in bounds? I don't personally believe that. And
was he trying to get 100 yards?
No, I think I think he was trying to end the game by himself. I think he was trying to
first down and
yes, he was trying to I'm gonna take this all on my shoulders and I'm gonna get it done right here. And originally he makes the move. It looks like there's a lot of room there for him. He picks up the 5 yards, but it closed up too fast for him. Again, it was a downhill run, like I said yesterday, a downhill run that he bounced to the short side of the field. If he sees the same opportunity to the wide side of the field, maybe he's able to get the yardage. Certainly he's got a better chance of staying in bounds, but it's just, I just love you too. Is this a mental error? Because I don't believe that's a physical error. And it's tougher to beat players up over physical errors like fumbles unless you've got a guy who's going out there and he's putting the ball on the ground every week or every other week. This was just not thinking, or this was being selfish, and I don't know how you excuse it. When you combine that with the illegal formation penalty against the Chiefs, you've got huge mistakes in consecutive weeks. I don't know how you don't drastically reduce the guy's playing time.
What move can you make here? What can you do to get better other than, face a bad Seattle team?
Think you've got to, you've got to find a way to get Haney a little bit better, while at the same time either keeping Martz in the supply closet or keeping Martz under wraps, because I think Martz did a pretty good job there against the Broncos. I think they were smart in how they approached that, and I think if they take a smart approach against the Seahawks, and if Haney can get, like I said, a little bit better. The Seahawks don't have the cornerbacks that the Broncos do. The Seahawks aren't going to present quite the same pass rush as the Broncos did. So I think there should be some opportunities for Caleb to make a few more plays because they need a little more spark on offense. I mean, who are we kidding here? And if they can rebound, and that's the big question. I mean, how's the psyche of this football team this week? But if they can rebound with the same defensive intensity, I think they'll be all right. No guarantees. I mean, right, if I had to pick right now, today, guys, I'd pick the Seahawks.
Are you buying the Jerry's going to retire rumors?
No, I don't think he's going to retire. You read between the lines of what he said, and I think he comes back, and I think he has a star-studded free agency ahead of him. I think that if you read into what he says he wants to go for it. And if he wants to go for it, I think you come out of this season, you assess where you're at with your personnel, what needs you have, and you consider the fact that they had a huge free agency 2 years ago. This past free agency was very not a lot of activity in terms of, not a lot of big dollar activity, at least. I mean, heck, the punter, Adam Podlish, got the most money, guys. And so I think they go big in the free agency, and Jerry does take a run at it. And, I'm not going to say that Jerry's going to go all in, because certainly that, we know how that turns out in this town. That's my take.
If you need an injured lineman, maybe Adam Dunn.
Adam Dunn's got a cousin, yeah.
Who runs the draft then?
Well, I think Jerry's back. I think Jerry's back. I think Jerry's running the draft. I think I think it's business as usual. the guy's got a contract through 2013.
Yeah.
And
but you go out and get offensive linemen. You go out and get a receiver that's not named Roy Williams and hasn't worked with Martz before. Martz not here. You move in a different direction.
It would be difficult to change. I think Cutler wants to stay in the same offense. If Martz isn't here, is North Turner on the street? Is he available?
How's he feel about his brother getting fired?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's the NFL.
Could Todd Haley be your I don't know, offensive, what would you call him? Maybe not offensive coordinator, maybe passing game coordinator. He did that in Dallas and have Mike Tice run the
running
back coordinator.
Would you be changing the offense then? I don't know. Todd's obviously going to be looking for work. There's no question about that. And he got out at a time when I think Todd was ready to get out from that Chiefs situation. And, and then it was interesting. Then Miami gets rid of Sperano right after it. And I think that was if you're going to start looking for a head coach, you're not going to get much of a head start on us, more than a couple hours anyway. We're now going to look for a head coach. So
I laughed aloud, though. I mean, because we went over the list. You would think that that maybe Spags has a problem staying in St. Louis.
Oh,
and, of course, the first name mentioned in Kansas City is Josh McDaniels. So you fire him and his staff, and then you hire that guy?
Scott Pioli maybe is interested in hiring him, but how do you sell that to two groups? How do you sell that
the owner?
To Clark Hunt, your owner, and then how do you sell Josh McDaniels to the fans?
Well, the way you do it is you say he's the Matt Castle whisperer.
Help.
But, I mean, I'm with you.
And here's the other thing. If you're Scott Pioli and you hire Josh McDaniels,
yeah.
If that thing doesn't work.
Yeah, you're getting fired next.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, you're gone. You better put the place on the market right now and get a smaller house and just start renting, because it might be quick.
All right, Bigsy, always a joy.
You guys have a great day.
That's Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune and, of course, the National Football Post, NFPost.com. He is always a Twitter, twitter.com/Brad Biggs. And you can pick up your Tribune today and read Brad. He's staring out from the sports pages at you. Always a joy to see Brad. It's Mully. It's Hanley at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score.